The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 11 and 6 that it is impossible. There it is. She's so amazing. It is impossible to please God without it. You cannot please God if you don't have faith. You cannot. As a matter of fact, you didn't get saved without faith. So for anybody that says, I'm not into that faith stuff, you didn't get saved without it. Because Ephesians 2:8 says that for by grace are you saved. So that's where the end result was. But you did it through faith.
That's right.
So the process that you went through was faith. The end goal was being saved, but you did it through faith. So everything that you're going to get from God, this whole, everything that we have, this whole system, this whole realm that we live in works by faith. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Now, the message is not directly on faith, but you're going to hear that theme throughout this. We're going to hear about the process of going through faith. And I know that sounds like boring because I am not a process oriented person. I like to see the goal and then be at the goal. But there's a process that you go through with everything to get to a goal. There's always a process. Nobody has a destination. Like, you don't put in, okay, I'm going to go to Birmingham, and you don't know how to get there. Because if you're trying to go to Birmingham and you don't know how to get to Birmingham and you just choose to just, I'm just going to go, then you're not, there's good chance that you're not going to end up in Birmingham. And if you end up in Birmingham, it's going to take you a lot longer to get there than it needed to if you would have had the right process. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about some process oriented. And that, so I don't know if we had anybody else come in late, but that's a little why I wanted you to talk about the goal. That a goal that you've accomplished, and how did you accomplish that goal? So I'm going to ask if I have any volunteer that wants to, and we'll need a microphone. Nancy, can you get that microphone for me? If we have anybody in here that wants to share a goal that they've accomplished, it's just a goal. Betty, so let's hear. What goal did you accomplish? Right here. Yeah. No, you don't have to stand. You can sit down. You can stand if you want to, but you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to.
Testing.
There you go. Very good. Like that testing. She ready to preach out.
One of my goals was to retire.
To retire.
From a company.
Okay.
And I did do that.
And you did do that.
I prepared somewhat. My first goal was to be able to go home and work from home. Okay. So I worked from home for about 13 years. After that, I prayed and I asked God, you know, hey, I'm about ready to go home. Not that I was had a whole lot of money or anything. It's just they say, whoever they are, that you're ready. You know when you're ready, mm-hmm. when it's time to go. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I stayed at this company for 27 years, and I retired in 2014.
Okay.
And the Lord has supplied
all
for me
Amen.
Since 2014.
Amen. That's Praise awesome. God. That's Amen. Awesome. And I'm gonna take another goal back here. Then I'm gonna ask a question. What was your goal? Yes, right here. What was the goal?
My goal was to become a licensed attorney. So I kind of had to take a step-by-step approach. So I went to college for 4 years, then I went to law school for 3 years, and then I had to study for the bar, and then I had to sit for the bar, which was a 2-day exam, and it basically takes up your entire life. But I was licensed in 2013, so I've been a practicing lawyer for 5 years.
Girl, you almost stepped into my sermon. You said I took a step-by-step process in accomplishing that goal. That's good. That's those two. So, Betty, I'm going to ask you. That's good. That's good. When you had the goal of retiring, you had to do something first. And that something first, I would say, is you went to work, right? So there was a step. You wanted to be a licensed attorney. So the first thing you did is enrolled in school. You started back in kindergarten.
I really did. I had to be in kindergarten.
She said she, oh my goodness, she said, you helping me preach this thing. She said she had the goal back in kindergarten. So while you were going through the process, the beginning process didn't look like the end yet, but you just stayed focused on the end, and she was okay as she went through the process. She just preached that sermon tonight. She really did. She preached the sermon. Because what we're going to talk about is, before I do that, let's go to Mark. Mark 4 and 30, 32. Okay, so this whole time, now, those of you who haven't been here, we've been building. We've been talking about keys to having a divine life, okay? There's keys. So Pastor Mike talks about all of the things that are in Mark 4. And he says it is the most important scripture in the Bible for the believer. And there's a reason for that, because what Mark 4 does, it gives you the process of a divine life, productive life. I'm sorry, divine seekers of a productive life. So he's giving us methodical steps to having productivity in your life, because it doesn't make any sense to be a Christian and get saved and your life is still bad. It makes no sense. How many Christians do you know that go to church and they go home and their life looks worse than people that don't go? Why go? I mean, why? I can stay in the bed on Sunday morning. I promise you I can. I mean, honestly, I'm loving live streaming right now because we stay at the house, you know. So why? I shouldn't say that. But why go if you're not being fed? So what we want you to do is we want you to have a productive life, okay? So that's where we're going through Mark 4. So we're going to read this. I'm going to read it quickly. So it says, again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, okay, so right there, I think I'm seeing a process. I think I'm seeing a process. It grows, so I think I'm seeing it. It grows, the goal is it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that birds can perch in the shade. That's a powerful scripture. That's a powerful scripture, because in that scripture, there's some secrets in that scripture that we're going to get to, okay? So I'm going to give you three things. For those of you who are taking notes, there are three things that I want to derive from that scripture, okay? The first one is God's plan. Okay, so we want to know God's plan. It's important to have a plan. It's important to know where you're going. It's important to know the end goal. You know, very quickly, yesterday I told you I was flying and I got up early in the morning. I took groom transportation to Atlanta, got dropped off, took a plane. I flew to Minnesota, had a meeting, got right back on a plane. Same day, flew back to Atlanta, took a shuttle bus back. It was a long day. It was a long day and I was tired. So when I got back on that groom, I was ready to go. I was ready to go. And we got on the bus, and if you've ever seen groom, it tells you, you know, where the destination is, because there's a lot of them at the airport. So you got to make sure you get on the right bus. So we all get on the bus to Columbus. We're all tired. We've been traveling all day and we leave the airport. So we're going, we're heading down, and the driver says, thank you. My name is John Doe, whatever his name was. He said, we will be arriving in Columbus, Georgia at 10 o'clock or whatever the time he said, and we were happy. Well, there was this sound that came out of the back of the bus, and there was this little girl back there. She wasn't little, but she was younger. And she said, excuse me, are we going by way of Athens? And we're thinking, everybody on the bus is like, oh my God. You know, my first thought was, I don't care if she's, don't stop this bus, just keep going. That's her bad. She gonna figure out how to get from Columbus up to Athens, her fault. So you could just see, everybody was just quiet. We were all holding our breath, like, what is this man gonna do? Well, of course, he turned around and we had to go all the way back to the airport. She had missed her shuttle. Thank you. She's like, it didn't make any sense. That's what we were saying. It's clearly marked Columbus. You know, why did you get on this bus? But the point is, she knew her destination, but she didn't know the process. She didn't know the process was to get on the right shuttle. So what was happening if you don't know the process? Even though she knew she was trying to go to Athens, if the process is wrong, she got the wrong result. She would have ended up in Columbus. She would have ended up in Columbus, so we were hot. But we went back and dropped her off, and we made it on back. So amen. But that's so key. That's so key because I want you to get it. I want you to hear about the process. So right here in Mark 4, it says, yet when planted, it grows. So the plan is God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow in the word. I have two of my children are sitting right back there on that row, and they were the cutest little babies, and I loved them when they were babies, and we had so much fun together, and we played. Joshua cried a lot, but we had so much fun, all that stuff. But here, 17, for Joshua, 17 years later, Kennedy, 14 years later, if I was still having to carry them, and I was still, gosh, being changing their diaper, we would have some problems. It would be abnormal. Yeah. It would be abnormal. It wouldn't be fun. Nobody's having fun. Nobody's having fun after 17 years changing somebody's diaper. Nobody's having fun. So it was very important that they grew up so they could become the productive people that they're going to become. So it's important that we grow. God wants us to grow. Why does he want us to grow? Why does he want, anybody have a thought? And I promise you, when I ask questions, like, the answers are usually really basic. So does anybody, why does God want you to grow? Anything? One, when I first asked that question, I was like, well, to have a productive life. I mean, God wants us to grow to have a productive life. But when you get there, when you get to your productive life, what are you looking out? And I say this all the time about why we want to have this church and why it's going to be big. And I always say that we don't want to be big just for the sake of being big. It's just going to be big because it's going to be great. That's just a fact. But to help others right here. God wants you to be a blessing to others. So his plan is that you grow, and the purpose is so that you can be a blessing to others. So make sure you write that down. His plan is for you to grow, and his purpose is so you can be a blessing to others. Right. Now, here's the third thing that we're going to get. He talks a little bit about, right here, yet when planted. So planted indicates that he did something to get to the goal. It talks about process. Okay. So that's what we're going to spend a little bit of time tonight on. Process. It's very important that you understand this whole time we've been talking about seed, because God used a natural example to explain a spiritual point. Okay, so that seed is so important. As a matter of fact, when you came in, you were given a card. I hope everyone's given a card. I want you to pull that card out. Pull that card out. I've got one. If you don't have one, see Miss Nancy, raise your hand. I want everybody to have one. Everybody got one? She's showing hers. Very good. All right. So I want you to really look at what I gave you. Anybody know what that is?
A mustard seed.
See, got some A students back here. It's a mustard seed. It's tiny. It's little. It's so small. I mean, look at it, really. You can turn it around. It's round. It's small. It doesn't look like anything but a round, small ball. That's all this looks like. Round, small ball. All right? Show my image. Okay. That is this. That is a mustard seed tree. And it came from one seed. It came from right here. Look at it. Look at that. So I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing that tree. And I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing that tree. That tree is in here. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. It was planted. It went through a process, and it was fertilized and all of that stuff, and it went through some time. But that, the DNA structure, everything in that tree was in this seed. If you get that principle in your life, that whenever goal that you have, it doesn't make a difference that it looks small. It doesn't look like the end goal. But if you can see the beginning and see the tree, it'll change your life. You'll accomplish every goal you need to accomplish because you're not focused on the seed. You're focused on the end result, and you understand the process. You understand the process. And that's what we've been teaching this whole time, Mark 4. I think the very first thing that Pastor Mike talked about was Satan comes to steal the word. That's a process. He wanted you to understand that that's the process. As soon as you get saved, that's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to grow. So he comes to take the seed away. And then the next thing he told you to anticipate disappointments. That when you are a Christian, do not be disillusioned that you're going to go through this Christian life and you are not going to face trials. But guess what? That doesn't mean anything because you have the ability to conquer them all. God gave you everything you need to overcome any situation in life. And then he talked about distractions. You can be distractions. Nitra mentioned it, and when she was talking about it, is so easy to get distracted. And if you were here during that message, it doesn't have to be an ungodly distraction. It could be marriage. It could be being a mother. It could be your job. It could be sometimes ministry. Yeah. Isn't that something? You can be distracted from God's purpose working in ministry. I've done it. So I know. I've done it. I know. So God is going, we've been giving all these things about the process because what we're trying to get to is that to get you to understand that most everything that God does, he does it in seed form. He never gives you the end goal first. He doesn't just place in front of you, hey, you think you want something? Boom. When she wanted to become an attorney, she just didn't say, okay, I want to be an attorney. Okay, I'm an attorney. Because she didn't know anything. Who wants her to be their attorney if she didn't go through law school or do anything? And she gets up there in the courtroom and you need somebody to defend you. And she's saying, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm just here. I want to be an attorney. So I'm here. You know, that's not, no. No, because then you're going to jail. Right. So that's a problem. You know, if you're a doctor, you want the best. I want the best doctors. I don't even want the one fresh out of medical school. I want somebody that's gone through some process. Yeah. That's gone through some process. So that's really what we're talking about. That's why process is so important. I know it sounds boring, it sounds nerdy, but it's so important. It's so important that you can look at that mustard seed. Because what does it say? If you go back to Mark 4 again, you know, it tells us it's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. And there was some, when I was pulling out these mustard seeds, I found bigger ones, honestly, to give y'all. There were some teeny weeny, because I couldn't get them on the paper. And it blessed me. I've read that scripture hundreds and hundreds of times. But that image became real to me when I sat there and I just stared. I encourage you to take this seed home. And anytime you have a goal, I want you to pull this seed out and I want you to look at it because God doesn't care that it's that you start small. As a matter of fact, let's look at that. Zechariah 4:10. Let's look what it says. It says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" And in another translation, can you put that in the NIV? Let's see what it says in the NIV so we can read it differently. Let's see what it says. That's okay. You're fine. Okay, so who dares despise the day of small beginnings, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. And I don't know what translation it is, but it says in one translation, despise not small beginnings. Don't get upset when you start small. Everything God gave is in seed form. For instance, let's talk about Faith Chapel. Faith Chapel has over $45 million in assets, land and assets. It started with four people. It started with a vision Pastor Mike had and four people, $45 million in assets. That's not a brag. That's just we want you to see that it didn't start that way. How did creation start? How did creation start? How many people started? Two. Creation. Everybody that's here. It started with two people. Now, God knew where he was going when he had the two people. He didn't get caught up, oh, Lord, it's only two people, so I don't know how we're going to get to millions, billions of people. He knew. It didn't matter. Think about, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in the woods with some camel skin on, eating bugs and honey. Okay? At some point in time, that's where he was. And he became a forerunner for Christ. Have you ever been to a petting zoo? Has anybody ever been to a petting zoo? It stinks. Like, oh my gosh, it stinks. So think about Jesus. Think about where we started. Think about where we started. Jesus started in a manger. We hear that story all the time. But I really want you to think about it. With some stinking, nasty, rank animals all around him, and he's the savior of the world. Everything God does, he does it in seed form. And because if he didn't, can you think why he might give you things in seed form instead of just giving you the whole thing? So you can trust him. That's good. So you can trust him. Anybody else? So you can, who said that? Who said, Kenya? You can handle it. You can handle it. It would overwhelm you. I heard T.D. Jakes said this. He said, if I ever wanted to kill a pastor, crush him, I would turn this church over to him right now in its current size. Just give it to some young, new pastor that hadn't been through any process, doesn't really understand ministry, doesn't understand that church people, glory. You know, we could... I won't say it, they'll praise you. You know, so see, but Jakes can handle it. Yeah. He can handle the 20,000 plus people that go to the potter's house, okay? But a new pastor might not be able to, so it we don't want to overwhelm you. Did anybody say anything else? Was there anything else that said? What did you say?
I said, so you can sit down and be humble.
You can sit down and be humble. That you decrease so God increases. You don't get into a position. Very good. You don't get into a position you think it's you. We've seen that a lot in ministry.
Yeah.
We've seen some people in ministry that they think it's all about them. None of this is about us.
That's right.
It's all about him.
That's right.
When you're standing up here, minister, I consider it a privilege and an honor that Pastor Mike allows me to do this. But I'm not worshiping Pastor Mike.
That's right.
Pastor Mike's not worshiping Pastor Mike. Mm-hmm. He's not doing this for Pastor Mike. He's doing this for kingdom.
That's right.
So God can be glorified. So absolutely, you guys said some good thing. He also looks for faithfulness. You become faithful in the process. I use Miss Tamika, one of the most faithful people I know. She sings everywhere. She does. She gives her gift, and she is faithful when she does it. If you say, hey, I need you to be here, she's going to be there. Faithful. So what are we watching? We're waiting to see where she goes. Because she has deemed herself faithful. So God wants to develop faithfulness inside of you. He also, do y'all remember that the first sermon I taught when I was teaching on integrity and I showed y'all the image of the seed and that seed went down into the ground and what happened? It developed a root system. So he lets you things start in so you can in a root system, I mean in a seed form so you can develop a root system. Because if the plant grew up without the root, what would happen when the winds of life came? It'd go away. It wouldn't last. This whole thing we've been talking about is that process. That God starts in seed form because he wants you to grow. He wants you to be effective. He doesn't want you to quit. He wants you to continue. And he wants you to have a productive life so you can be a blessing to others. So important. So important. Let's see. Grow to. He wants you to be mature. He wants you to grow up to maturity. It's important to be mature. I mentioned it earlier. If Joshua and Kennedy, I mean, they're teenagers now. Some things I listen to them when they tell me, there's some things I don't. Because they haven't completely grown to maturity. You know, they'll give me their opinions and you want them and you see their growing process. They don't say the same things that they did when they were babies. I mean, I can understand what they're saying and they're growing. But I also understand where they are in life. I don't expect my kids to go out and have to work and bring money into the house and take care of the house and have all these responsibilities. They haven't grown to maturity yet. So what we want you to do is the reason why we talk about all of these things and the reason why we'll talk about regular church attendance. It's not, I mean, we're not saying, girl, you know, you're going to hell if you don't come to church every Sunday. That's not what we're saying. When we say regular church attendance, when we talk about quiet time, we talk about having a time of worship because we want you to grow to maturity so you can have a productive life. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. But the whole crutch of this message, and we're talking about, and we're talking about process, is that really, really, and the reason why I started off and said that this is a faith message is because what we want you to do is to see this seed, but see that tree. So you're looking at the seed. Don't get upset when things have to start small. God says he rejoices. In another translation, that scripture says he rejoices when you start. He rejoices because let me tell you about one other reason why he starts in seed form. If God showed you everything about your goal, I mean, everything about it, but you may own a law firm one day. I don't know. But if he showed you everything, it would make you do nothing. You would get frozen because you're like, I can't do that. I can't handle that. You would not. You would really sit there and become frozen. So starting small allows you to take a step-by-step process, and he just starts revealing himself to you. That seed, it went down, and then it started growing. It grew small. This seed, it grew small. So you might have seen this at different phases, and you say, oh, it's just a little whatever. But then it's this. And that's where we want you to get to. We want you to get to that by looking at this. Amen. It was a simple message, and I am done. Amen. 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 Y'all give the word a big hand.